The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about iodine today. A lot of talk about, you know, what's going on the West Coast from Fukushima and stuff. So we kind of dive into the iodine topic for a little bit. Also, we're going to try to catch up on what we didn't finish last week. We're going to talk about, you know, blood pressure and diabetes. And also, since it's allergy season, I don't know about where you are, but here on the East Coast of North Carolina, everything is covered in pollen. So we're going to talk about antihistamines, and we'll see how much time we have after that. We may get into some protein topics, but we'll see. And we do have a quack report, but before we get to that, a big reminder, next week, the 15th, Dr. Carly will be here. So we'll be talking about some new things that she's discovered. And an interesting month, April, is flowers blooming, you know, buds on the trees coming out. So life is emerging, and isn't it wonderful? I mean, from the winter we all had, this is just awesome to see. So I hope you enjoy the spring without all the allergies as much as you can. Before we do the quack report, big salute and semper fi to all our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm praying for them, praying for America, praying for every righteous man and woman out there. You know, if 26% of sports fans, well, they say they pray for their team, I think we can hit the knees and pray for this nation. What do you think? You know, mind the time, it grows short. We need some supernatural help, and we got to ask the Lord for that. It's his decision if he helps, but it's our job to ask. Hey, I got this little poem I want to read to you real quickly. I thought it was really spot on, as they say. It says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Isn't that cute? So great. So, mind the time. It grows short. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right. And then the quacker, what do we got? Oh, well, here's something out of MIT. This was interesting, guys. You know, cold and flu season, we got through that. But, you know, this is allergy season, so people are going to be sneezing. They're going to have the runny nose, the itchy allergy eyes. Well, a study done at MIT, the researchers found out that the coughs and the sneezes are far more apt to spread viruses than they had first thought. That's right. That cough, that sneeze that you see. Have you ever seen somebody sneeze and you actually see the spray? It's really not, ugh. But, you know, you see it. I mean, it wasn't, you know. Well, they've been studying the spray over there at MIT. So when you cough or you sneeze, you see those droplets or maybe even feel them if you're close enough to someone sneeze. Ugh. But anyway, he says, but most people, according to the researchers, say they don't see the cloud. There's this invisible gas phase to a cough or a sneeze. So the influence of this gas cloud is to extend the range of the individual droplets, particularly the real small ones. So researchers found that smaller droplets that emerge in a cough or a sneeze can travel 5 to 200 times further than the droplets, the big ones, you know, those unconnected particles. So this is interesting. It goes further and farther than they thought. The tendency for these droplets to stay airborne, they said, there are resuspended actually in this gas cloud, which means that, you know, ventilation systems in public places probably prone to transmitting potentially infectious particles. So hospitals and high rises probably got to rethink that ductwork. All right. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, it's just nasty. I mean, they showed you on this one website where they had this, I guess, videotape where somebody sneezed and you can see the gas cloud in that. It's just incredibly big. All right, moving along. That ad where that guy at work puts on that wetsuit and gas mask because his coworker's coughing and sneezing right across from him. Yeah, he's probably spot on because of that. All right, we're going to talk about last but not least in the quacker. We have a list of foods that our research is pinpointing that can make you more likely to develop kidney stones. You know, the kidneys, the fist-sized organs located on either side of the backbone, just under the ribs. Well, they're responsible, of course, for providing a filter to 200 quarts of blood each day. So this amount of waste material that they filter out of the blood is about 2 quarts worth, and then it gets transferred to the bladder to be released as urine. But some foods can contribute to an accumulation of particles that can, you know, crystallize and give you those kidney stones. On the list is a lot of meat, animal products. A lot of people that eat a lot of animal products, a lot of protein, puts a lot of strain on the kidneys. The elimination of toxins is slowed. And according to European Journal of Nutrition, they did a study in 2003, and they tested people that consumed high meat animal protein diets and those that were on vegetarian diets. And the ones that had the animal protein diets were more likely to have the kidney stone problem because of an accumulation of uric acid from the cooked meat. Now, also on the list is the carbonated beverages, your soda pop. So sodas and the energy drinks that are carbonated will also increase your incidence of kidney stones because a study released in 2007 said drinking two or more of these types of drinks a day will increase your risk of chronic kidney disease and stones. And lastly on the list, the genetically modified foods are going to put a strain on kidneys. So foods that are genetically modified include your sugar cane, corn, rice, soy, and canola. A study that they did back in 2009 on laboratory rats showed the effects of the corn from Monsanto, one of the largest producers of genetically modified seeds. So three of the varieties tested increased the levels of kidney and liver toxicity. So avoid the genetically modified foods and eat organic. Protect your kidneys. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about iodine. What I like to use, though, for kidney stones to dissolve them is juniper berries. The oils in the juniper berries are awesome at doing that, so you might want to check that out next time. Or just avoid those foods, or a majority of those foods, and you'll do better. Do your organ cleansing periodically and can avoid that stuff, see? All right, let's talk about iodine. How important is it? Yeah? Well, we hear a lot about it because of the radiation issue. We've been hearing a lot about the iodine protecting the thyroid, especially because of Fukushima nuclear disaster, and now the radiation coming ashore on the West Coast. So the human thyroid is important for efficient metabolism function. So iodine is in every organ and all of the tissues. So studies are suggesting that iodine helps the body fight off disease like cancer. So even without nuclear disasters, what would be causing low levels of iodine in humans? Can taking iodine supplements help, or do they hurt more than they help? Well, we're going to take a look and see what approach we should have regarding this iodine issue. All right, let's talk about some stats real quickly. According to Dr. Joseph McCullough, the worldwide statistics on iodine deficiency is about 40%. So 40% of the world deficient in iodine, according to him. Now, according to Dr. David Brownstein, now he's an expert on iodine deficiency, and he's also the author of a book called Iodine, Why You Need It, Why You Can't Live Without It. And he says 95% of his American patients are iodine deficient. However, health experts say that overall Americans are not iodine deficient. So which is it? Are we at risk of disease because of lack of iodine, or are we kind of splitting hairs on this issue? Well, the CDC says that they estimate 2.2 million American women are iodine deficient. But I think a more realistic figure is about 11% to 15% of Americans could be iodine deficient. Well, let's look at what causes this low iodine. You know, currently doctors can check iodine levels with a urine sample. And according to Dr. McCullough, if the sample has iodine levels below 50, it indicates a moderate to severe iodine deficiency. So we're told that current iodine levels have been steadily decreasing over the last 65 years. So what is causing that? You know, it is suggested that some of the foods that we are eating are contributing to the iodine loss, like, foods containing bromine. So you find bromine in a lot of convenient baked goods, medications, soda, and inside plastic containers and pesticides. So bromine can also be found in some personal care products, so you want to read your labels. Now, according to research, the bromine displaces iodine and increases our risk to serious disease like cancer. So some experts contribute breast, thyroid, ovary, and prostate cancer to the bromine. Now, the other problem is the foods that we're eating are much lower in natural iodine than they had been 100 years ago. So the demineralization of soil, fluorinated water, and other contaminants have driven down the iodine level. Now, before Fukushima occurred, the Japanese were able to consume nearly 90% more natural iodine through their diet, you know, sea vegetables and fish. So if you compare the United States recommended daily allowance of iodine, which is 150 micrograms per day, to the Japanese and their natural consumption of 13,800 micrograms per day, you can see the difference. Now, prior to Fukushima, that disaster, the cancer rates in Japan were extremely low. But you got to notice that the Japanese used natural food sources for iodine. They weren't on, you know, synthetic supplements for it. Now, let's talk about if you get too much iodine, what happens? Well, there is a risk of getting too much iodine when you overdo iodine supplements. Now, we are aware that if the thyroid does not make enough of its hormones from iodine, that we can develop hypothyroidism. So, but if we overdo the iodine supplements, we could develop what has been called a subclinical or milder version of hypothyroidism. So the symptoms would be the same. You'd have fatigue and weight gain and increased risk of heart disease. So a 2012 study that was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition stated although the average American is low in iodine, that taking too much of an iodine supplement can also create problems. So taking, they said, just 400 micrograms a day of an iodine supplement can, according to the research, create a risk of developing the subclinical version of hypothyroidism. So, you know, getting it artificially, probably not the same as getting it in your diet, your food sources there. Well, let's look at your thyroid on supplements. What happens to the thyroid when you take an iodine supplement? Well, the thyroid does not use iodine directly, and it has to metabolize the iodine and convert it to iodine L and iodine L2, in which the thyroid will use to make thyroid globulin. So this metabolizing process tends to split the iodine ion, and it can cause some oxidative stress. So it's better to get your natural iodine in your food sources and, you know, lead the supplements for situations like nuclear fallout. So in the case of a nuclear emergency, the iodine supplement will flood the body with iodine, protecting the thyroid from radioactive iodine. And if you take the widely prescribed potassium iodide tablets when there is no emergency, well, this can put you at risk of what they call thyroid toxicosis, where you get too many thyroid hormones, and you could develop what they call Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune disorder. The symptoms would be sweating, tremors, increased heart rate, anxiety, sensitivity to heat, feeling hungry, loss of weight, thyroid goiter, and even bulging eyes. So how would you know if you need, right now, where you are, this moment, if you needed more iodine? Well, if you don't feel like going to see your doctor for the urine analysis, to check, you can check your iodine levels another way by doing what they call a simple skin test. Your doctors would want you to buy their skin test. It's called an SSKI, or a supersaturated potassium iodine test. However, you can take a potent source of natural iodine, which would also have the high concentrations of iodine and potassium, and you can test it on your skin. For instance, you know, I would use like a tincture of black walnut because it has a very high natural iodine and potassium content. So take a few drops of the tincture and put it on your skin inside of your arm, right inside your forearm is a good place. You know, spread it into the size of a patch and let it dry. So if you see the yellowish stain appear, or when you touch something wet with your fingertips, and they develop a yellowish stain on them, this means that you have adequate iodine in your system. Now, if the patch of iodine you put on your skin seems to disappear within a few hours, it could indicate you may need more iodine. So the longer it takes for the patch to disappear on your skin, the more iodine you have in your system. So if your patch is still evident after 4 or 6 hours, it's a safe bet that you have adequate iodine. However, according to Dr. David Brownstein, he said the absorption rates can be influenced by atmospheric temperatures and pressure, you know, the altitude you're at. He states that if you live in Denver, Colorado, that's 5,000 feet above sea level, compared to Los Angeles, California, which is practically at sea level, the iodine will disappear much faster if you're in Colorado. Now, of course, any test has a margin of error, so you may want to check with your physician on your test results before you diagnose yourself. Well, let's talk about salt, because, you know, we talk about salt being iodized. Isn't all salt iodized? Well, you would think people are getting enough iodine by consuming salt because, you know, it's iodized, right? Well, according to Dr. Marcel Pick, there is no standard requirement to iodize processed salt. It is completely voluntary in the United States, and only 1/5 of the salt products are actually iodized. So Dr. Pick's research says that over the last 40 years, the amount of iodine we are getting in our diet is 50% less. So this has led to an increase in iodine supplements in the marketplace, and people overdoing the supplements and getting too much iodine too quickly, and some are developing the iodine-induced hypothyroidism. So iodine from natural food sources is a safer alternative if you're trying to boost your iodine. Well, let's look at some natural sources, okay, if you want to use these. First off, you want to try some real, honest, authentic ocean salt. So if you're looking at salt for a natural iodine, make sure that you avoid the processed salts and get the sun-dried, unprocessed kind called Celtic sea salt. You want to make sure your natural salt is not stark white, but has a gray tinge to it. Salt that's been artificially processed is stripped of the natural minerals, including iodine, and it turns white. So the sun-dried salt is basically cardio-friendly. It has 84 minerals still in it, and it won't promote hypertension. So Celtic sea salt from France is going to be your top quality type of Celtic salt. So check brands where it's harvested, because in France they still have the salt flats with the say in the gland and the clay and the sand, and it allows for the natural evaporation of the water from the salt so they don't have to artificially heat it. Let's look at another source. It's seaweed. If you intend to get some natural iodine from seaweed, make sure you're using a source not affected by the radiation from Fukushima. So seaweed from the Atlantic probably be a safer source. And lastly, black walnut. If you're looking for the highest concentration of natural iodine, you can find it in some black walnut. It also has a significant natural potassium element to it. So there's your potassium iodine right there. So a little goes a long way if you're going to use black walnut. All these natural sources, actually, a lot of potency, and it's naturally absorbed, and the body just gets exactly what it needs when it needs it. So a little goes a long way if you're going to use the black walnut source. And you don't have to take it every day, especially if you are going to, let's say, use some seaweed or Celtic salt. So black walnut tincture is really potent, has a long shelf life, so you might want to have that kind of hanging around. Use it when you do your cleansing, you know, get rid of parasites. It's got that extra benefit there. So where do I get my iodine? Well, typically, I tend to use the Celtic sea salt each day, and I do use some seaweed, and it's in my Body Foundation food mix. I just throw it in some juice. Occasionally, I'll use some black walnut when I do my organ cleansing. And black walnut is also good for removing, like I said, the parasites if you think you have those. Now, you will find Celtic sea salt that's harvested in France, the black walnut tincture, and you can use it to do your skin test, actually. And seaweed is going to be in the body food mix that we have at Apothecary Herbs. And you're also going to find dandelion root tincture if you think you have a cancer concern with your thyroid. So you can check all of that out at thepowerherbs.com. That's their website, thepowerherbs.com. Or you can give them a call toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, if you're outside the U.S., call 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, or visit them online, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless, so do check that out. And if you're visiting the website, sign up for the online newsletters. They're free. Just click on the newsletters tab, and you can sign up for free health information that goes out each week, and you'll get discount coupons that you can use towards your herbal products. So subscribers do get special discounts, so it's free. You can sign up. There's no charge, and you can reap the benefits of information that is healthy information to empower you and save some money on your herbal products. So check that out when you can. Also, if you've been getting the newsletter, you've been seeing that the National Health Federation, it's a nonprofit, has been telling folks that they need to get in touch with the FDA because the FDA is trying to modify the supplement labels on your products, which would actually lower the potency requirements of your vitamins and minerals and so forth. So if you don't want to pay more for your supplements and get less, I encourage you to check that out. You can contact the FDA on their website. They are taking consumer feedback through June 2nd. And so if you need any information regarding this, the folks at Apothecary Herbs can email it to you with a hot link over there, cut to the chase and get to where you need to go. And they'll send it to you. So you can go to thepowerherbs.com and email them there and protect your health freedoms when it comes to your supplements, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know we're going to take a break in a minute, but we're going to get into this topic about diabetes and high blood pressure and then antihistamines. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and We're going to talk about some diabetes and high blood pressure for a little bit, and then we're going to kind of try to get into this antihistamine topic if we can. You know, there's a lot of natural foods out there that could really assist you with heart health and diabetes and those kind of heart diseases and conditions, and your doctors know about them, but they actually don't tell you about them. And the reason is obvious one, it's, you know, they don't get money for making their patients all that healthy. They give them the illusion of health. They give them disease management. But, you know, to cure you would be to be sending dollars away. I'm sorry, it sounds cold, but, you know, that's, I think medicine's great for triage, you know, trauma, but for long-term stuff like this, preventative health care, they don't exist in preventative health care. They don't have, they can stabilize you, but then they make you a slave to your drugs. So medical science knows that when you consume healthy foods, you get healthier. However, the masses have to access healthy foods and stay away from the foods that encourage diabetes and heart disease and a slew of other illnesses, right? So disease management is usually their motto, and some states are now taxing people for foods they say they consume that are medically determined to be causing, you know, obesity and things like that. So let's talk about a whopping 44%. Of the heart attacks are caused usually by poor blood pressure, which is responsible for about 3,000 deaths, heart attacks, I should say, 3,000 heart attacks a day. About 4% of the cases have a diabetic complication as well. So the number one cause why we have chronic heart disease and is really lack of good nutrition. So more than 5 million Americans are not eating well, and they invest in their heart drugs to control their high blood pressure, their cholesterol, their congestive heart failure, their arrhythmias, and so forth. So drug companies sell more heart drugs than any other medicine. So you have to ask, you know, as a nation, are we going to tolerate this type of plan on healthcare, which, you know, would give more power to the authorities in healthcare over you? Do you really want to be treated like a patient for the rest of your life? Who wants to be a patient the rest of their life? Nobody. Why would you give someone this kind of control over you? So let's talk about this new diabetes. It's been kind of bantered about. In 2006, we discussed about this topic. 4 million Americans have diabetes. These numbers go up every day. 200,000 heart patients also have diabetic complication. The medical establishment has announced a new type of diabetes called diabetes 3. So just when we had, you know, type 1, type 2 diabetes, and that wasn't enough, now we've got another one. So according to the study, tens of thousands of Canadians are suffering from diabetes type 3. So medical science has linked this specific diabetes 3 to now Alzheimer's disease. Now, the study appeared in the November issue of the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease and reported the levels of insulin receptors significantly diminished in the brains of early Alzheimer's patients and then continued in a free fall as the disease progressed. So the study claims that the insulin disappears suddenly with the onset of the Alzheimer's, and they now believe Alzheimer's is in reality maybe a type of diabetes. So in the study, they autopsied 45 brains. Some were normal. Some had advanced stage Alzheimer's. And then they found the brains of the Alzheimer's patients that had an 80% loss of their insulin receptors. So they were like, whoa, what's up with that? So let's talk about heart disease for a second, though, and diabetes kind of running amok in America, all over the world, really. Speaking of some studies, there were over 60 studies and reports done in the United States medical universities, done by drug companies and foreign companies, that know natural food significantly reduces both diabetes and hypertension. So they already know how they could instruct and train their patients to be heart attack free and diabetic free, but they choose not to. So the mystery food that keeps cropping up in all these studies that medical researchers, laboratories, and pharmaceutical companies know about already is garlic. You have access to garlic, don't you? Well, you don't need a prescription or anyone's permission to have some garlic, right? So let's talk about the garlic studies. A study published in the Evidence-Based Complementary and Alternative Medicine Journal showed garlic restores antioxidants and reduces free radical damage that is involved in the vascular disease with diabetes and high blood pressure. In the study, they took rats and they fed them diets that induced diabetes and hypertension, and then they fed garlic extract, about 500 milligrams a day, for 3 weeks to the rats. And the results were that the blood antioxidant levels significantly rose in both the rats with diabetes and those with hypertension. So in the rats with the diabetes, the increase in the antioxidant serum levels paralleled a decrease in the glucose serum level. And in the rats with the hypertension, the systolic blood pressure was lowered, and all based on garlic. So the Department of Biological Sciences that did some studies in Kuwait University, they studied some garlic, and they determined that it's the allicin in the garlic that had the definite power over the serum lipids and lowered the blood pressure in the rats on the high cholesterol diet. Now, the study reported also that the garlic had a direct impact on serum cholesterol, triglyceride, glucose, protein, and systolic blood pressure. So the researchers concluded that garlic may have a beneficial effect on risk factors for arterial sclerosis and hypertension. So this study was noted that they used fresh garlic, and it was effective in reducing the formation of these platelets, clots, for stroke patients. Another study by the Department of Epidemiology and Healthcare Research at the University of Limburg, Netherlands, found the claims of the garlic reducing cardiovascular risk were confirmed, and they used fresh garlic, but in large amounts, large doses. They concluded the garlic may be beneficial in regards to aging and cancer due to garlic's ability to offer more antioxidants. So this is why 1/10 of the medical literature states that garlic thins the blood, lowers blood pressure, and lowers blood sugar, but you have to use medicinal amounts of it. So what would that equal? Well, if you went and got a bulb of garlic and you depapered the individual cloves, you'd probably need to take 4 to 6 of those a day. Well, let's talk about two herbs that I like to use. Sometimes I call them my dynamic duo. They're very effective for cardiovascular disease and diabetes. I like to pair garlic with what I call white juniper berries or juniper monosperma. And these two act very well together. Medical studies that you will see, a significant amount of these types of herbs have been used. A little garlic bread is not going to do it for you. If you're thinking, oh, I'll just put a little garlic on my bread and have it with my spaghetti, or I'll put a little garlic in my spaghetti sauce, but that's not enough, okay? That's not the medicinal amounts you're going to need to move the cardiovascular mountain, okay? To just give you an idea of the amount of garlic that you would need to make a difference, like I said, 3, 4, 6 cloves per day. If you have persistent diabetes, you may need to double it to 6 to 8 cloves a day. It just depends on how your metabolism's working. So when you use garlic in this way, it increases your own insulin production by stimulating your pancreas, which directly lowers blood sugar and gets you off the artificial insulin. So the juniper berries are the icing on the cake and can help manage the blood sugar levels in the blood a bit further. So you also can layer in hawthorn berries and a little habanero cayenne to strengthen the heart muscle and balance the blood pressure from head to foot. So you have options there, and you have tools. If you don't want to depaper garlic all day long, you can get a really good certified organic whole food garlic liquid and just put, you know, droppers full of that stuff in like vegetable juice and drink it. It's in the system. It doesn't have to be digested. It's just very efficient. Now, I like to use cayenne because of the circulation power It's very helpful for balancing blood pressure and helps out with the diabetes. So when you improve circulation, you improve communication between your endocrine organs and that would be your pancreas, see? So when the blood is too thick, it slows down the communication process, especially it's going to be detrimental for females who depend on their endocrine system to produce a lot of hormones for their cycle. So if you're a female and you have diabetes and you have hypertension, you're really behind the eight ball. So I would use some cayenne and some Dong Quai root, a lot of the female endocrine system herbs, hops, wild yam, demania leaf, biotex berries, and use the six female hormone herbs, and they're not artificial replacement hormone herbs. They are herbs that feed nutrition to the endocrine system so you can make the right hormones for you. So it's a communication is improved within your system chemically. So you can get your garlic juice, you get your cayenne. Now, if you're looking for a formula that has it all together, you can check out the heart cholesterol blood pressure formula that the folks have at Apothecary Herbs. The cayenne's there, the hawthorn berry's there, the garlic's there, the motherwort is there for arrhythmias if you have any fluttering. They have some other herbs in there to help remove some of the fat from the blood, the cholesterol. Of course, you want to modify the diet. You know, you're gonna take responsibility and clean up the diet, right? Now, another thing is, especially if you live in colder climates, cayenne on hand. Have cayenne either in powder or liquid form on hand in case there's any kind of, frostbite. You can put the toes and the fingers in some warm water with cayenne to restore the circulation to the tissue gradually. So very helpful there. Also, you know, your cayenne is very helpful along with your ginger root for lowering inflammation. So that's important inside and outside the body. So you can check out thepowerherbs.com. You can look under their cardiovascular section and see what your options are there. They even have this really neat 1-pound portable heart attack pack that you can have with you just in case. You know, you can use that while you wait for the ambulance to arrive. And when seconds count, you can have some of those handy herbs on hand. Check that out, thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call at 866-229-3663. Okay, I know I'm moving kind of quickly, but I wanted to get to this antihistamine topic because of the pollen. We got really bad pollen this year. And people are going to, you know, run for their allergy meds, their antihistamines. And basically, one in four adults is going to be running for the histamines, according to the American Academy of Allergy. So what are you really doing to yourself when you take an antihistamine? Well, they should be safe, right? But they've said they're not safe for pediatric medications. Okay, so they've tried to remove those from the pediatric medications. So, but doctors sometimes prescribe antihistamines for other things other than allergies. So we're going to check out antihistamines and see if we're, you know, if they're good to use short-term, long-term, or maybe we shouldn't use them at all. Let's look at the list. The AMA doctors are going to prescribe antihistamines for medical conditions other than your allergies. Your doctor may recommend that you take them for common cold symptoms, eczema, food allergies, sinusitis, hay fever, hives, poisonous rashes like poison ivy, oak, sumac, intestinal cystitis or bladder pain, lymphatic gland conditions, radiation sickness, sleep deprivation, and of course, the list is endless. I can't list it all, but you get the idea. So really, is antihistamines necessary when you have an allergy flare-up? And aren't histamines part of your body, and are they important? Well, we do have histamine receptors. They're called H1, and they're all over your body. They're on the smooth muscles and on your cells that line your intestines. They're on cells that line the serous cavities of your heart. They're on your lymph vessels, your central nervous system, like your spinal cord and your brain. They're on your blood vessels. So I think, you know, histamines sound kind of important, don't you? So when you take an antihistamine, what are you actually doing to your whole body? What does it do? Well, the body releases histamine, which can bring some inflammation. It's an initially increasing circulation when it does that. And it can bring an allergic reaction as well. So histamine is pretty much a local immune system response. It's filled with white blood cells, and it regulates physiological functions of your thyroid gland, your digestive tract, and your neurotransmitters. So what happens when you use an antihistamine then? Well, if you use an antihistamine, you can experience some physiological alterations in your body. So if you use antipsychotic drugs, research has proven that these drugs regulate more than just neurotransmitters. They also target your histamine H1 receptors. Now remember, your H1 receptors regulate several functions of your body. So the research is pointing to antihistamines and antipsychotic drugs as producing one of the most important health crises in America, known as metabolism syndrome. So the National Center for Health Statistics, they report in 2004, 66% of adults pretty much overweight or obese. And the stats on obese kids are a little lower, but they're on the rise since the 70s. So what does this have to do with antihistamines? Well, the antipsychotic drugs and the antihistamines are believed to contribute to a majority of the health problems. You may not realize that an antipsychotic drug contains antihistamines. So in 2007, there was a study published in the Clinical Therapeutics regarding research done at the University of Nebraska Medical Center, and they found that antipsychotic drugs intended to treat schizophrenia, depression, and bipolar disorders all contain antihistamines. So sleep aid prescriptions also contain antihistamines. And many don't think of antihistamines as being in the hardcore drug therapy, however they are. So one other thing is antihistamines will deplete the melatonin, the brain hormone that helps you sleep. So insomnia can be a result when melatonin levels are disrupted. So sleep deprivation can trigger depression. And if you're put on antipsychotic drugs for depression, they also have antihistamines in them affecting the melatonin level, thereby perpetrating this vicious cycle of drug dependency. So if antihistamines disrupt melatonin and create sleep disorders, you may wonder why they're in sleep aids to begin with. Ask yourself, what's up with that? Well, I want you to think about this. If antihistamines are in antipsychotic drugs, what else are they going to be in? Well, if you use prescribed antipsychotic drugs, prescribed antihistamines, or any number of over-the-counter medications, you may be getting more antihistamines than you need, which could be putting you at cardiovascular risk or central nervous system collapse, gland system failure, and digestive system problems. So your metabolism can be altered, and you may not be picking up weight, or you may be picking up too much weight and not realize it. So new research shows that antipsychotic drugs and antihistamines sedate your system. They slow it down. They slow down your metabolism while they stimulate your appetite. So when taking these drugs, you have a desire to eat and then go to sleep. So how do these drugs do that to you? Well, the researchers at Johns Hopkins University Medical School, they found that antipsychotic drugs, which have antihistamine, control the AMP enzyme and rise the level of the enzyme 4 times normal. So the AMP enzyme works through the H1 histamine receptor, making you lazy and hungry. So the research was published in the Journal of the National Academy of Sciences. And recently, drug companies have claimed that they have produced the antihistamine drugs now that counters the H1 receptor to help control the appetite enzyme issue. So you may recognize the drug's marketing name, Claritin. However, the product does not guarantee patients won't gain weight while taking Claritin. And it stresses that you shouldn't be pregnant or nursing while you're using this drug. If you suffer from kidney or liver disease, you shouldn't be taking Claritin. So taking a look at Claritin's side effect panel, you can see the medicine is worse than having allergies. You can get a rash, swelling, itching, nervousness, rapid heartbeat, weakness, stomach pain, dizziness, diarrhea, and respiratory distress. And you can look that up on the CDC.gov website. So is there a remedy for allergies without all this risk? Well, I did find it. However, the solution isn't just usually one thing. It's a combination of things. Now, without a doubt, a majority of allergy sufferers can reduce their sinusitis, their ear infections, pneumonia, throat infections, hay fever, and other sensitive responses by eliminating some foods from their diet. Dairy products is a big culprit. It's a mucus-producing food. It does trap in a lot of toxins, and it makes the body struggle to detox. So if you take that strain off the system and have a free flow of toxins through the body, you'll probably have less of those reactions, especially during pollen season. So basically, an AMA physician will not distinguish between environmental or food allergies, but will prescribe the same regardless. Okay, so it's going to be up to you to kind of troubleshoot and see what it is. Keep a food journal and for a couple of weeks and see how you react. But there are some herbs that work, I think, better and safer than antihistamines, basically. For the sinuses, I like to use my echinacea, my garlic, my cayenne to open up the sinus cavity and drain it. For allergy eye, I like to use Eyebright and golden flower and golden seal and some other herbs. And it's an eye wash type of liquid that you can just rinse all that mucus away and get rid of the itching or dry eye. A lot of people get dry eye. So there's lots of things you can do that will take care of the itchy. Now, if you tend to get poison oak or ivy just by looking at it, well, then you might want to try, instead of steroids, you may want to try what the Native American Indians used. And it was called skin poultice. And it had plantain and some other herbs in there that just remove the oils from the skin that are creating the problem and help dry up the rash, and all, you know, without a lot of expense and a lot of fuss, and it did it pretty quickly. So there's lots of things you can do to even tone down your allergy response, like astragalus roots one. So you can check all these things out at thepowerherbs.com. They do have a category. It's called allergies. And you can click on that, and you can check out the products there. And if you have any questions or concerns, you can simply give me a call during the week at Apothecary Herbs, or you can email me off the site, and I'll try to answer your questions. The toll-free number for Apothecary Herbs, if you want a free product catalog, is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. The PDF version of the catalog is on the website if you want to download it, or you can just peruse the website there, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Hey, you can get to that site by just typing in herbtalklive.com. Gets through there as well. So check that out and sign up for the free online newsletters that will go out each week, and you'll have empowering information to take control back in your life, and you'll have discount coupons you can use towards your herbal products. We gotta go, but we'll be back Thursday. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.